This is really targeted for the purpose of making sure that schools do two things. First and most importantly is that when they conduct law enforcement exercises or drills, as they're required to do, that they have law enforcement officers present for the drill. That's been the case for fire services now for decades, most specifically following Our Lady of the Angels fire back in the 50s, and that the same has not been true for law enforcement. Right now, until this change to the law, law enforcement was not required to be present. They were only required to be notified that a drill was being conducted. So first and foremost, it brings a level of expertise to the law enforcement drill process at each of the schools. The second thing it does is it requires an active shooter drill to be one of the law enforcement drills that need to be conducted. So we're not changing the number of drills that need to be done or even the type. It's still the same number of law enforcement drills, the same number of fire drills. But in this case, we're mandating the inclusion of an active shooter or a lockdown drill, as it's commonly called.
Now, some schools were already doing this type of preparation, though, aren't they? I mean, this is not something that just all of a sudden, schools never thought of this and now they're going to be doing it. It's just that some schools were not quite as prepared as others.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So really what we're doing is we're trying to standardize it to the degree where there's at least a continuity of effort among schools. So if you look at a state like Illinois, there's 864 school districts. There's almost 5,000 secondary and primary schools. So when you look at that number of institutions, number of facilities, it stands to reason that you're going to see differences from school to school. So some do this very well already and are well practiced at it. They're well integrated with law enforcement. But what we wanted to do was make sure that we can really raise that lowest common denominator to make sure that there's a better baseline for what schools are doing in terms of preparedness.
We're talking with Jonathan Munkin. He is director of the Illinois Emergency Management Agency, talking about a new law that requires schools to hold safety drills, including practicing what to do during a possible school shooting situation. Of course, a lot of this developed out of the Sandy Hook shootings last year. What specifically was learned from that by Illinois authorities and others?
Well, there's actually a lot of lessons learned. As is the norm, when you have an event of that magnitude, of that significance, you really scrutinize it in a great deal of detail to make sure that you can draw out any lessons learned. And in this particular case, one of the things that we saw was the actions taken by faculty and students ultimately saved lives. How many lives we'll never really know, but the important part is if you can save one more life by doing something a little bit better, then that's something that's worth doing. So we saw that Sandy Hook actually performed quite well overall in terms of how they reacted to having a shooter in the building. And we want to make sure that if 20 people were murdered when things were done well, I can only imagine how bad the circumstances can be if they're not done well.
And one of the ideas, I'm guessing, with the drills is to make sure not just that teachers, administrators, maybe even students know what to do in these situations, but that law enforcement become more familiar with the campus, with the buildings that they're talking about. I would think that some of the law enforcement may have never stepped foot in certain buildings, and if something did happen, they wouldn't know, the ingress and egress and things like that.
That's absolutely true. And it's really something that we're trying to draw by requiring the presence of law enforcement, local law enforcement, at a law enforcement drill to make sure that they are familiarized with the building. Something that happens with great frequency is even if it's a police officer who grew up in that community and attended that school 15 or 20 years ago, it stands to reason that renovations have happened, the footprint of the school has changed. And statistically speaking, if you have a shooting incident in a school, the sooner you can get law enforcement to that location and make the shooter aware that law enforcement is present, the sooner that event ends.
There would be few people who would see it as a waste of time to do a drill like this and see it as beneficial that they should do this type of thing. At the same time, more controversial have been some other ideas that were out there, including, I believe, the NRA had a plan at one point to they thought all schools should have armed security within them. I know that even locally, talking with some law enforcement, they had thought about certain types of doors that would not allow somebody to gain entrance very easily, maybe more cameras set up on the outside. I would imagine that has all been discussed and was discussed during these negotiations. And your thoughts on those ideas, and will they come up at some other point?
I can tell you with a great deal of certainty they will come up at another point, and they were discussed in detail. So this is really just one component of really a comprehensive school safety plan that we've assembled using subject matter expertise from law enforcement, from the education community, from a lot of other individuals to really build out a robust plan. And this is really just one component of it. Some of the things that you mentioned, increasing and improving the physical security of the buildings, is absolutely something that makes sense to do. This is really just a preparedness preparedness step to make sure that people are as prepared as they can be. But there are a lot of things that we can do on the front end as well. So Illinois hired the country's first dedicated school intel analyst that works in our statewide terrorism and intelligence center here to try and collect information up from these schools and ultimately intelligence to be able to analyze it and develop some trends to make sure if there's any way that we can head off these incidents before they occur, if we can identify these individuals that mean to do harm before they do it, that's obviously the ultimate goal from a law enforcement perspective. So this is just one of a one component of a much more holistic approach to trying to make schools as safe as they can be.
How much of the decision-making to go this route was based off of finances? Because schools, of course, struggling financially, things like putting security guards in schools, that could be rather expensive, some of the other changes that people had proposed. I mean, even though everybody wants schools to be safe, you still have to balance that out when it comes to budgets. Did that play a factor as well?
Well, it certainly has to play a factor when we're looking at, you know, anything that we do when it comes to changes to laws, we need to make sure that the needs of the schools are taken into consideration, and we have their opinions as subject matter experts taken into account. So in this particular case, it was a change to the law that, as far as the schools themselves are concerned, is fiscally neutral. So you're looking at a circumstance where there's no change to the number of drills that need to be conducted. There's no change from the school's perspective on what they need to do. What it comes down to is making sure that those law enforcement officials are present when these drills are conducted. And fire services have been able to accommodate that for the last 50 years since they've been required to do so. And we're very confident that law enforcement can do the same.
This is just sort of a first step to a bigger approach. Is there something that could be coming that, you know, legislation could be drafted soon on something, some other approach, or is that something that's going to be talked about and negotiated as you go forward?
A little bit of both. So ultimately, we're going to have, there will be future legislation on several of these issues, whether it comes down to school construction standards for future schools, whether it comes to changing what schools can and can't spend some of their funds on, their health, life, safety funds. They have not been able to use those for security personnel and things like that in the past. So there's a lot of things left that we still need to work on and things that we can do. So there will be future legislation. One of the bills that was passed this legislative session was also the creation of a school safety task force comprised of personnel from both the House and the Senate on both sides of the aisle, and then some subject matter experts across law enforcement and things like that. So I think what we'll probably see is that task force will be taking up the agenda from where we left off with the school safety summit that the governor hosted this year and really put those ideas in front of that task force, that committee, and allow them to kind of look at what options do exist for moving the ball forward.